Thank you very much. Thank you for explaining that that poll that the Republicans did. It was very interesting, and one of the women in Congress, I don't remember which one, was commenting on it, and she said, well, what they want to do is continue to take your rights, but they want to talk about it in a kinder, gentler way. And I think that that sort of sums it up. But my mission is this. Women can control any election. As Bob has said, we are the majority in the population. We're the majority of registered voters, and we are the majority of those who actually show up and vote. And I want to make it clear that my book is not just for women, although the title says Savvy Woman's Guide. I feel like adding a little thing, and the men that care about women, because we know that men can be actually, in some cases, better agents for change than women can in certain circumstances, because they still control most of the power. Corporations, of course, are the main place, I would say that. But let me just read you what we have in government. We're 18.1% of the House of Representatives, 20% of the Senate, 17.7% overall. Now, how can we do anything without the help of men of goodwill? So I want to be clear about that, because we have to have them as allies. We do have many of them as allies, but we definitely view issues differently than men in many cases. If women vote their own interest in the interest of their families, though, we definitely can control any election. There's no question about that. And people will say, well, isn't that kind of selfish? I mean, you know, voting your own interest, you think the 1% views it that way? Do they vote their own interests? I think maybe they might. Certainly the right wing, the anti-woman right wing that wants to take our rights in a kinder and gentler way votes their own interest. So we and our families need to do the same thing, but we need to know really what the history is of certain issues and why it's important, what has changed over the years, and what has not changed. And so the book is sort of a compendium of all the issues as they affect women. And I don't say women's issues, because some of my friends here in the audience know that when you say that, people think, well, that women's issues, that's abortion and lesbian rights, right? That's women's issues. No. What we talk about is all issues as they affect women, such as tax policy. I mean, tax policy is not the most exciting topic in the world, but if you don't know when they're thinking about changing the tax structure, how it's going to affect you as a woman, differentially than how it affects men, then you're not as informed of a voter as you need to be. And one thing I do in every chapter in this book, at the end of the chapter, I give you questions to ask them. So you can show up at their town meeting or send them a tweet or a Facebook and say, well, what about did you or would you vote this way or that way? Did you or would you vote for this change in tax policy or Social Security, which is another differential issue in terms of women and men? And women do view the world differently. You know, the book title, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, or the other way around, I've forgotten what it is. But we were talking about one issue just before we got up here. And Bob was saying, well, you know, when the war started, when 9/11 started, women became more security conscious and more in favor of military spending than men did. Do you think that is going to be the case now that we're probably bombing as we speak, or will be soon? And my answer is I don't know, but I can talk to you about another kind of security, and that's personal security and gun control. That's an issue where there is a big gender gap. Why is that? Because men view guns as hunting, and somebody might call me to come clean up Dodge. I might need my gun. Women view it as my kid might get shot at school or I might get raped at gunpoint. And it is a fundamental difference in how women view the world on that issue. Take another issue that is really coming around now in terms of national support overall, lots of victories, but that's gay marriage. Women have for years supported gay marriage in greater numbers than men. And they have supported gay adoption in far greater numbers than men. So how women view the world makes a difference in how they vote. Hello, Barb. Thanks for coming. And it makes a difference in how they talk to their friends, which is going to be something very, very important in this election because turnout is normally low. When turnout is low, we don't do so well. And if we think it doesn't make any difference, we have to think again because a lot of damage can be done even in an off-year election. That's two more years where your rights can go further down the tube, where nothing can get done positive. And so it's important for us as the majority to turn out the men in our lives and turn out our friends. But we got to know what we're talking about, and we have to know what they're talking about. And that's why another reason that I did this, it had its genesis way back in the early 90s when I first came to Washington, and I started an internship program for young women who work for women's groups. And Kim, you ran that program when you were at National Council of Women's Organizations as well. And what we discovered was that the kids would come to Washington and they were very eager and they wanted to work and they didn't know as much as they thought they should, and they were afraid to ask because they thought everybody else knew it. And so we started just doing, just issue pamphlets, just a little like mimeograph things. And eventually I decided, look, it needs to all be written down because if the young women coming to Washington who are already interested in these issues really don't know the nuts and bolts of it, then how can we expect women who may be, especially if they're low income, holding two jobs down, they don't have time to even go to the library, much less afford to buy a $15 book. So we started trying to reach out that way through the web and to let women know what their rights are and how they should be viewing things. Now, on the selfishness issue, how many of us think that wanting child care is a selfish issue? You know, we were talking today about let's do a progressive family values agenda. Let's do that. Let's say, what is that? That's freedom from violence, very much in the news this week. That's child care. That's not being poor in your old age and not being able to afford your medicine, not being able to afford even a $5 copay for health insurance. And a very big one, and I know the Supreme Court's not running. Damn, I wish they were because we could vote them out. But it's going to be birth control, obviously, with the Hobby Lobby decision. I think they have their cards on the table now. We know what they are thinking in terms of, you know, what's your place out there, women? How, in my day, as they say, my mother used to say, well, they want women barefoot and pregnant. And I don't think that's changed a whole lot. And I think we're seeing it, and our daughters are in some very considerable danger on that front.